many of you want to be initiated? Okay, very good. Okay. There's a point to those questions. I'll get to them in a second. As we can see, this Krishna consciousness movement is a sukham kartam avyayam. It's very joyfully performed, very blissful. Who did not like that kirtan? Who did like that kirtan? Say, Hari Bol! Okay. In the performance, Hari Bol! In the deities, Hari Bol! And Srila Prabhupada?
Hari
Bol! Okay. Right now you all have an A+ on your examination. But you may fail. I'm a very strict teacher. Hare Krishna. I also drink a lot of water. All right, so this whole process of Krishna consciousness, it springs from the soul proper. This doesn't come from a material, from the mental conception. No, this is, every aspect of this is scientifically designed. Just as I'm thirsty and I drink water and my thirst is quenched. So, Prabhu, can you leave this down? I'm one of those people that get very hot, you can see. Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you. So this process of chanting Hare Krishna is being delivered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the entire universe. This is not something that is restricted to the planet Earth. Actually, Prabhupada said, after this becomes fully Krishna conscious, we'll go to other planets as well. I hope I go to Krishna Loka. I hope that's the next planet I go to. But if Prabhupada wants me to go somewhere, I would go. But it is being delivered, and just as the sunlight or the sun rises every morning and gives life to all living beings, so the Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large. Because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It's a life of all transcendental knowledge. And it gives us a taste of the nectar for which we're always anxious. So everyone wants to experience Ananda. Ananda, for those who may not know what that means, probably all you do, but I'll say it anyway. Ananda means bliss, means ecstasy. And every one of us are motivated to find that Ananda. Right? I've been looking for 45 years. That's why I'm Udayananda. That Ananda can only come when the soul is reconnected to its natural constitutional position. This world is an alien world. We are all aliens. We're illegal aliens here. We could be arrested by the Yamadutas. No, we are illegal aliens. We are not of this world. Even Christ in the Bible said, you're in this world, but you're not of this world. Right? So Krishna says, Mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manasastra nindriyani prakriti stani karshinse. All the living beings in this material world are my eternal parts and parcels. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which includes the mind. So we can all say we've had a struggle. Who can say they have not struggled in this world? If you can say you have not struggled in this world at all, you're either a demigod or a liar. And if you're a demigod, I want to see you get on your flower airplane and fly out of here. I'm not speaking to demigods today. Only Vaishnavas. Unless you're Vaishnava demigod, of course. But so we all have struggled. That's the nature. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravatano jana. This material world is a struggle. It's a hard struggle for material existence. Yet people, they want to pretend. They want to live with blinders on their eyes. That's it. They don't want to. It's just like if a person is sleeping, you can wake him up. Hari Bol Prabhu, get up. Okay. But if he's pretending to be sleeping, he will not get up. So we have to be very serious about waking up. Jeev Jago. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings Jeev Jago, Gora Chandra Bole. Wake up, sleeping souls. Wake up. How long will you sleep on the lap of the witch called Maya? Now, that seems like harsh words. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a pure devotee, and he wrote it. And of course, Maya is not a witch. She is a pure devotee of Krishna. But her actions, oh, she's so powerful. That trident, Ariatmik, Aribotik, Aridaivit, stabbing. Just heard that 1,200 people died in a flood somewhere in Asia. Just read that yesterday. 1,200 people just drowned. So many families disrupted. All over the world, we see hurricanes, typhoons, tornadoes, heat waves, so much Aridaivik. Everyone is being, you can hide in your air-conditioned house, but someday you got to go out and work, right? So that's Aridaivik. And then so much harassment in this world. Every time we turn around, we hear some nonsense terrorism thought, right? So much nonsense. So much nonsense, you come to the temple, you have to go through a metal detector. Huh? That's Aribotic. Other living entities. And if it isn't human beings, then it's mosquitoes. So many problems. And then finally, your own mind, your own body. I just had surgery on my foot a few months ago. They had to cut my bone open. So much pain. So I'm just starting to walk again. But it's painful, this material world. But somehow or other, we have come here. And there's a great promise. Actually, pratijanihi, Krishna says, I promise. He says, I promise. And he tells Arjuna, you declare it boldly, Arjuna. Pratijani, my devotee is never vanquished. Krishna says, janma karma chamedavyam evam yovitadatata tyaktvam deham punarjanma naiti mam etu sojuna. If you understand Krishna's janma, his appearance, his karma, his actions, then upon leaving this body, you do not take birth again in this wheel of samsara, but you attain his eternal abode. So that's a great promise. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has delivered the Yuga Dharma. Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyata. Chant the holy name, chant the holy name, chant the holy name. In this age of Kali, Nasteva, there's no other way, no other way, no other way for self-realization. So, 45 years ago, I first walked into the temple, just like those people that raised their hand, first time here. 45 years ago, I also walked into the temple. So, it is a great experience. I walked in the temple. Of course, I've been reading Prabhupada's books. And very amazing things happen. I knew the first day I walked in the temple, oh, I'm going to be a devotee of Krishna. But before that, I thought the last thing I would ever do is become a Hare Krishna devotee. That's the very last thing. Am I going to shave my head and wear a dress downtown Detroit? No, I'm not going to do that. But I ended up doing that. So I wanted to... Actually, I'm leaving India tonight. I've been here for 2 months. And unfortunately, because of my bad karma, I can only stay for so long. It's like going to heaven. You stay for so long and then you have to fall down. I've been to India 8 times in my life. And every time I think, I will never leave, I'll never leave. And then, psh, get out of here. One time I was in Mayapur in 1977, and I was on the Lotus building. Prabhupada was very sick. And I was chanting my rounds. It was only the Lotus building there then. And they were building this long, strange building called the Long Building. And I was chanting my japa, and Jaipataka Swami came up. And he comes over, and Jaipataka Swami, he was always one of my heroes. Him and Vishnu John Swami, those were my two heroes. So he's my older godbrother, and he comes up. He's very enthusiastic in kirtan. He used to have these big whompers he used to play. You've seen that, huh? So he says, Uday, what are you doing? I said, I'm chanting my japa. What do you mean? What am I doing? He said, no, what are you doing with your life? I said, well, Maharaj, I'm the Sankirtan leader in Detroit. And he goes, no, but what are you going to do for Prabhupada? I said, well, I'm distributing books. And then he said, well, I heard that you wanted to do some business for the Sankirtan devotees. And I said, yeah, I've been talking to a brahmachari. He said, yeah, I wanted to raise money so the Sankirtan devotees, it used to be a very big like pressure on us to distribute books, but also we had to collect a certain amount of money because we had to pay for the lights and the food and the festival and everything like that. So there was a lot of pressure on us. And I wanted to give people Prabhupada's books because that was the secret of my success. And it was very pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. So I had this idea. I'll make a bunch of money and then I'll give it to the book distributors. Simple plan. So he said, I've got this idea. Because India used to be closed then. It was not free trade like it is now with America. He says, they're just opening up trade, India and America. So what I'm thinking is you could bring product from India and take it to America and then bring America products and over to India and you know, do come back and forth and you'll make so much money for the temple and you'll get rich yourself. And I said, you know, that's a pretty good idea, Maharaj, actually. And he said, well, I said, I don't know. I think I have to go back to Detroit. He said, but no. And he looked across the field. And all there was rice paddies everywhere. There was nothing. A few farmers, a couple cows, a couple dogs barking. And he said, out here is going to be schools. And there's going to be grihastha ashrams, houses built. There's going to be restaurants. There's going to be a gigantic temple. And he's pointing out there's going to be gardens. And there's going to be thousands of people coming. And I'm looking out there. We had 10 brahmacharis downstairs. And I was going, thousands, Maharaj? He says, tens of thousands. And I was like, wow. And he said, and you know why? Do you know why I know this is going to happen? And I said, no, Maharaj, why? And he goes, because Prabhupada said it would happen. And so I said, okay, Maharaj, I'm in. I'm moving to Mayapur. And then 14 days later, Srila Prabhupada left the planet. So then, havoc. So tomorrow is Prabhupada's disappearance day. And I happened to, as I said, to be in India and in Vrindavan just before Srila Prabhupada passed away, and I got back to Vrindavan the day after Prabhupada passed away. So there was in 45 years, I've never had a chance to tell these pastimes that I had with Srila Prabhupada in India. I've told them in America, Europe, but I've never told them to the devotees in India. So with your approval and blessings, I'll tell you the pastimes I have with Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. First of all, I just wanted to mention that when I first saw the devotees, it was in 1969. Prabhupada had just come in 1965, so he'd only been here 4 years. And I was a student. I was in high school. And it was winter. It was December 1969. And have you ever heard of the Salvation Army? You've heard of that? Salvation Army. They ring bells and they collect money for charity. Okay. They do that at Christmas time. So anyways, it was very cold in Detroit, Michigan, and I was waiting to get a bus. And I looked across the street and I saw the most unusual sight I had ever seen. And there was a bunch of people in these orange and white and red robes, and it was cold, but they were dancing. They were moving like back and forth like this, and they were saying something. I don't know what they were saying, but they all had these big smiles on their face. And I looked over and I said, that's the weirdest Salvation Army people I've ever seen in my life. Which, obviously, they were devotees. And I said, boy, they're the poorest, too. They had old sweatshirts on and gloves, but they were... I said, but you know what? They're the happiest people I've ever seen. So I got on the bus and took off. And then a couple months later, I was back downtown, and one of the devotees stopped me. And he said, do you know that this world is an illusion? And I said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, see that building over there? I'll never forget this. That looks like a tangible reality, right? In due course of time, that'll be just dust. And I was like, wow, that's depressing. And he said, so I have one request. Please take this magazine. And I said, and he also, old shirt and so on, I said, oh, I can't take your magazine. He said, no, but can you kindly give an offering to my spiritual master? So I was very young. I had like $2 on me. And I said, well, can you give me change for a dollar? And he said, yeah, sure. He took the dollar. He went over to another devotee, and they were going through their bag and came back with like 13 cents. And he said, is that okay? And I was like, yeah, okay. I thought, you need it more than me. So anyways, I got on the bus. I opened the magazine. That's the first time I saw Srila Prabhupada. And I said, wow, they have a genie here. I thought, wow, Srila Prabhupada looked like a genie. And I thought he was from the Middle East. I had no clue. I was just a 17-year-old kid. And I started reading, and it was over my head. So I put the magazine down, and my bus stop came, and I got off the bus, and I left the magazine on the bus. Then further on, I went through a whole series of reversals. I had a scholarship to Brown University, and I lost my scholarship, and a number of things happened. Got a disease. It was very bad. And all of a sudden, everything that I thought was rosy was turning upside down. And finally, I was working on a boat, a big yacht owned by Gerald Hyatt of Hyatt Regencies. And he was a multimillionaire. And he was a very miserable man. I thought, you know, if I work really hard, I really sacrifice, I might be worth one-tenth of what this man's worth. And he is so miserable. His kids were all on drugs. His wife ran off with another man. He just had one problem. He was an alcoholic. I said, I don't want to be like that. Why would I want to be like that? So then I got very sick, and at that time I actually embraced atheism. I was atheistic. And then I was so miserable on this boat alone and suffering, and there was a big storm came, and the boat was rocking, 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 and I was so miserable, and I went, oh, my God. And I said, wait a minute, there's no God. And he said, well, if there's no God, how come I'm suffering so much? And then I said, well, God, if you're there, please help me. And as soon as I said that, this incredible calmness came over me. And I felt exhausted. And I laid down right on the floor and I fell asleep. And when I woke up, the sun was coming through the window on my face. And I woke up and I went, there is God. And I'm going to find out who he is. So then I started reading all kinds of books on yoga. And I started following this Mayavad. And so his Mayavad actually said in his book that he saw Krishna once. And then he had pictures of devotees of Krishna. So then I was like, oh, I see. So this is the guru of the Hare Krishna movement. But this Mayavad had very long hair. And I had long hair. So I was going, those rascal Hare Krishnas, they're not following their guru. They're shaving their heads. So I said, I'm going to chastise. The next one I see, I'm going to say, you follow your guru, wear your hair real long. So lo and behold, 2 weeks later, I was going to a store. There was another devotee. And it seemed like there was about 5,000 devotees in the city of Detroit. Because every time I turned around, I'd run into a devotee. But it turned out there was only 20 devotees in the whole city. But they were so out there, every time we turn around, there'd be Hare Krishna. So I went up to him. I said, Om. And he went, Hare Krishna. And I said, so I've been reading your spiritual master's books, and I have a question to ask you. And he said, oh, that's fantastic. Which book are you reading? And I told him the book, and he said, that's not our spiritual master. And then he said, this is our spiritual master. And then I said, oh, he has a shaved head. Oh, that blew my whole argument. And then he said, no, unfortunately, that guru, he died before he became fully realized. And I said, no, that's terrible. He said, don't worry, he'll take birth again. And I said, oh, that's great. And then he said, Brahmeti paramamiti bhagavaniti sabjate. That the absolute truth is understood in three phases as Brahman, the unlimited white light, the paramatma, the super soul in everyone's heart, and Bhagavan, the personality of God. And as soon as he quoted that Sanskrit, it totally disarmed me. I was like, wow, this guy knows more than me. And then he went on preaching. And I was stunned how much this devotee knew, just standing outside of a supermarket. And so then he said, listen, I want to give you this book. And I truly didn't have any money. And so I said, I don't have any money. He said, would you read it? I said, yes. But I said, actually, I brought my brother's girlfriend to the store. We were all living in this house. And so I ran in the store and I said, give me $2. She said, you're not going to give it to that Hare Krishna. I said, just give me $2. Took the $2, gave it to the devotee. And he said, here, I want to give you this book. I said, hey, no, I can't get any more money. He says, no, I want you to have it. So he gave me the Shri Upanishad and the Perfection of Yoga. And that's when I really first met Srila Prabhupada, is when I got his books. And I actually studied those books. Then I gave those same books to my best friend, who, his name was Pat Hedmark, and he read those two books. From those books, the very same two books, I became a devotee, and then he became a devotee, and his name is Pragosh Das. And he's a very famous book distributor, Prabhupada. And we calculated in my years of devotional service, I've distributed about 130,000 of Srila Prabhupada's books. And Pragosh has distributed, hold on, wait for it. Pragosh has distributed 400,000 of Srila Prabhupada's books. Book distribution key. So, two from those same books. These books are so powerful. I don't even have one of Prabhupada's books here. They're so powerful. All of us, right? We become devotees because we read these books. And these books are the secret weapons. Prabhupada said they're like bombs. We're like soldiers. And we're going out in war with the material energy. And we're dropping bombs on the laps of the conditioned souls. So, anyways, so many ways I met devotees, and finally I came to the temple, moved in, and I first went to temple in 72, and in 73 I moved in March, and I got initiated in August 73, and then second initiated in July of 1974. And during that time, I never actually met directly Srila Prabhupada. So I was pretty much like everyone in this room. I'd read Prabhupada's books, right? And I actually got first initiated, and still, I hadn't got directly from Srila Prabhupada, but he used to write a letter to us. But then in 1974, Prabhupada came to Chicago, which is the city of Radhanaswami, as you know. And that was the first Rath Yatra. And Prabhupada, the temple president asked me of Chicago, his name was Sri Govinda. He said, "Uday, I want you to be Prabhupada's bodyguard." So I said, "Okay, Prabhuji, but what do I do?" He said, "If anyone gets in Prabhupada's way, you take him out." I didn't have to take out anyone, but I would have. Any rate, so Prabhupada, he came to the airport. There was like 300 to 400 devotees at the airport. And actually, I was kind of late getting to the airport, and we just parked our van right on the curb. We didn't even go in the parking lot. We just parked on the curb, and we ran in. And we could hear the kirtan going on. So we just started running to the airport. And we started running down this hall. I had 5 brahmacharis with me. And we were just running. And it got louder and louder. We turned down one hall. And it got louder and louder. And then down another hall. And then finally, we turned this hall. And this whole ocean of devotees came through. And they were dancing and laughing and crying. And right in the middle of it was Srila Prabhupada. And I paid my dandavats right there in the airport. And I got up, and the first thing I thought of, he looks exactly like he looks in his books. And so I got to go right up, and there was one of the sannyasis was walking next to him, and Sri Govinda said, "You have to be right next to Srila Prabhupada." So I went up, "Maharaj, I'm Prabhupada's bodyguard." So he goes, "Oh, okay." So I got to be like 8 inches from Srila Prabhupada. And he was in this world, but not of this world. I was like drunk with intoxication, just being that close to the pure devotee. And he wasn't like walking. Prabhupada would walk. He would like float. It was quite an amazing thing. So he went out of the airport, and he got into, they had a limousine there, a Ford Continental, right? You know how when a dignitary comes, they get a big limousine and drive them home? Well, Prabhupada is loved so much by Krishna. Not only did he get a limousine, a Ford Continental limousine, but Mr. Ford was Prabhupada's driver. Ambarish Das was driving Srila. He was the chauffeur of Srila Prabhupada. So they got into the car, they drove off, and then all of a sudden the devotees realized no one is back at the temple. So I got my, there was my van, so I got in the van and I drove about 100 miles an hour, got to the temple with my brahmacharis. We got out, we were having kirtan just as the car came out, pulled up, and out came Srila Prabhupada. And I, that was my first kirtan I led for Srila Prabhupada. And so he came in, and I got to stand next to his door. So whenever he walked out, I would offer my obeisances. And his lotus foot would come about 6 inches from my face. So anyways, so the next day we had initiations. And Prabhupada, he was... He brought each devotee in, and individually, he would give you your Gayatri Mantra. So they had brought a Vyasa-san from Detroit, and they put it in the Brahmacharya Ashram. And it was a beautiful Vyasa-san. I don't know how they got it. We had a room in the ashram we fixed up for Srila Prabhupada. It was very pakka, beautiful. And so Prabhupada was sitting right on the edge of the Vyasa, sitting very straight. And his servant was Sudama Maharaj. He had all this frankincense. He had pots of frankincense burning around the front of the Vyasa-san. I mean, it's billowing. And Prabhupada liked it. So, but it looked like clouds. And when I offered my obeisance and it got up, it looked like Prabhupada was floating on a cloud. I was going, wow. Then a very amazing thing happened. Very amazing thing. Never happened before and never happened again in my life. But as I stood up, or I didn't stand up, but I was on my knees, I looked up at Srila Prabhupada, and he was looking down at me. And our eyes locked. And the most incredible thing happened. To me, it was a miracle. But at that very moment, he looked into like my soul. I actually had that feeling that he knew everything about me and there was like nothing to be pretentious about. I'm a rascal. He knows that. I just have to come clean, be honest. And it was just an incredibly... And here was the thing. Even though I am the most fallen, it was not he was looking at me like, oh, you malacha, you low-life American. But Prabhupada had this look of infinite compassion. I've never experienced that ever again. And I've seen some compassionate people. But this was this infinite compassion. Almost as if he was saying, please leave this world and come back to Krishna. And I could not hold his gaze. I had to look down on the floor. It was just too heavy. And then Prabhupada said, come close. And so I crawled up to him. He said, give me your right hand. And I couldn't even, I was so stunned. I had to think for a second, which one was my right hand? And I gave my hand. He took my hand. I got touched by the pure devotee. And he said, you take your thumb and you put it on this digit. And he put my thumb on. I didn't even know what a digit was. And then he said, and then move it to here and to here. And he went. And I was like completely not in the world, kind of astral traveling. And then he said, repeat after me, Om Bhur Bhuva Sutat Savitar, etc. Not supposed to tell you that. So he gave me the whole mantra, and then he was sitting there, and he said, you are chanting 16 rounds? And I said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. And he said, and you are preaching Krishna consciousness? And I said, yes, Srila Prabhupada, I'm the Sankirtan leader in Detroit. And he said, went just like this. He lifted up his finger just like that and said, always preach Krishna consciousness. Which is one of the only instructions he gave me. So I went, yes, Srila Prabhupada. And then he went, All right. Like this. And see, the thing is, I had read all his books, so I was totally convinced. But I was thinking, here I am. How many millions and millions of births have I taken in so many species of life? And now I'm right in the presence of the Jagat Guru, the Uttama Arika, the Mahabhagavat. Millions of lives I've waited for this moment. I actually had this realization. And I was only 21 years old. I had that realization. And I said, I should ask him the most profound question I can imagine. So I could barely even talk because he was so great and I was so small. And then he said, all right. And I bowed down and I said my obeisances. And then I sat up and I said, Srila Prabhupada. And he went, yes. I said, can I touch your lotus feet? And as soon as I said that, I was like, did I really just say that? Oh, no. Because it sounds really corny, right? Can I touch your lotus feet? And Prabhupada looked at me like this and said, that is not necessary. And I was like, yes, Srila Prabhupada. And I offered my obeisances. I ran out of the room. And a couple of my friends, Vaisheshika, I don't know if you know him, but he was outside the door waiting to find out what happened. And Suradas, who's the one of the directors of the BBT in Los Angeles, they were outside and they said, what happened? Who died? What'd you say? I said, oh, can I touch your lotus feet? And they were going, oh, no, Uday, you didn't say that, did you? You are such a nerd. And I said, but wait a minute. There was a method to my madness. What had happened was when I first joined the movement, we did not have Guru Puja, right? And then Prabhupada introduced it in 1974. And I love Guru Puja. It is my absolute favorite time of the day. Nothing comes close. No close second. Guru Puja is number one. And why? The lotus feet of my spiritual master are the only way we can attain pure devotional service. I bow down to his lotus feet with great awe and reverence. By his grace, one can cross the ocean of material suffering and attain the mercy of Krishna. Just from his lotus feet. Right? So I thought, that's the secret. It's like a secret of the universe. Only by the lotus feet of the pure devotee can you get pure devotional service. I need the dust of those lotus feet. But Prabhupada said, it is not necessary. So now I got a quagmire. Okay, I'm like, what am I to do? I got to get the dust. But he said, it's not necessary. So why did I even ask? I should have just took the dust. And every time he walked out of his room, I could touch his feet real quick. But now I can't. So later on, 4 years later, I was in Sri Vrindavan Dham. It was October in 1977. And Prabhupada was very sick. And I was coming out of my room and I was going to see the deities, Krishna Balaram. He's going to go chant some rounds. So as I came walking by, Upendra Prabhu, my older god brother, came out. And he said, Prabhuji, could you do me a favor? And I said, sure, Prabhu, what is it? And he said, could you come in and be with Srila Prabhupada? And I said, hello, excuse me? It's like, could you get on this flower airplane and go back to Krishnaloka? Could you do me a favor and do that? Right? So I go, yeah. And so, yeah, of course I can. So I can. I said, well, what do you mean? He says, well, Prabhupada has been asking for all his devotees to come, and no one is coming. This was one of the tragedies of our movement. And not many people know this, but I was right there. I was just a little fly, but I saw that. Anyways, I happened to have a little good fortune by his divine grace. And I said, so I came into his room, and it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I got to stay there until 10 o'clock at night. So, and I just sat at his lotus feet, and I just chanted japa, and there were other devotees in there as well, and people were massaging Prabhupada's head. There was Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and Pendra was doing his arm, and Bhakti Chu Swami was doing his other arm, and it was just a very, very sweet and loving, very loving atmosphere. So I was sitting at his feet, and every so often they would say, hey, we need so-and-so. So I was like the gopher. I was the runner. So they would take Uday, go get so-and-so. And I'd go running, get him, bring him back. So I was sitting there, and I was thinking, wow, I'm so fortunate. I'm here in Sri Vrindavan Dham. I'm at Krishna Balaram Mandir. I'm at the lotus feet of the spiritual master of the universe. And it's also Kartik. So I was thinking, wow, I can't get any higher than this. Then I looked over and I saw Trivikram Swami. And he was at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. And he was massaging Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. The lotus feet of the spiritual master are the only way we can attain pure devotional service. So I'm looking at him and I'm going, oh my God. And every so often Maharaj would put Prabhupada's feet on his head. Oh, I was so envious. And then I had this whole debate in my mind. I was going, Uday, shut up. You're lucky just to be here, okay? These were all my older god brothers. I was just small brahmachari. And I said, you know, but what could they say, you know, if I asked? All they could say is no. And then I said, well, they could throw you out of here. And I said, well, the worst they could do is kill me, and I'm in Vrindavan. So great, go ahead, kill me. So I'm going through this whole thing in my mind, and then a miracle took place. And Trivikram Swami yawned. He went like this. And because I was a Sankirtan devotee, I knew exactly what I was going to say. So I had to do a little Sankirtan on my older god brother. So I just crawled up real slowly and humbly and said, Maharaj, you look like you're tired. I know you've been here a long time. You're probably wanting to take some rest. And I was wondering if maybe, possibly, if it would be okay if I could massage Srila Prabhupada's feet. And I was totally expecting. So, first of all, Trivikram Swami, if you know him, very heavy. And he was 10 times heavier back then. So he looks over at me with this heavy sannyasi look like you. And he goes, okay. And I go, Hare Krishna. And I thought I was going to faint. And then he said, come here. So I moved over and he said, now you have to do this. Rub very gently Prabhupada's feet and then rub his calves, and I can tell you absolutely Srila Prabhupada has lotus feet. They were so soft. They were just like a lotus flower. And I got to massage his feet, and I got to even put his feet on my head. Srila Prabhupada ki. And I got to do it for 2.5 hours. And then at the end of the night, I am totally... Oh, and then Srila Prabhupada actually, when he was in Vrindavan, and it's not talked about much, but Prabhupada was going blind. And Prabhupada could not see even to the foot of the bed. If someone came in, he would say, "Oh, who is this?" And they would say, "Oh, this is Govardhan Das," or "This is so-and-so." And so I was massaging Prabhupada's feet for about 2 hours, and then Prabhupada, he was being rubbed by Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and Prabhupada said, "Who is this massaging my feet?" And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, "It's Udayananda from Detroit." And Prabhupada went just like this, "Oh." And he smiled like, "Just, is this all right?" And all the hairs on my body stood totally on end. I think my siko was like... It was like, all I wanted to do was touch his lotus feet. But he let me massage it and put his feet on my head. Prabhupada was, whatever you gave to Srila Prabhupada, he gave thousands of times more. It's like you give, it's like Krishna. You take one step to Krishna, he takes 100 steps to you. Prabhupada would reciprocate like that, and he just poured his mercy. And it was inconceivable. And that time was the most inconceivable time of my life. But Prabhupada, he just poured this mercy on us. So then at the end of the night, as I was leaving, Upendra said, "Thank you so much for coming in and seeing Srila Prabhupada." And I'm like, "Oh, is this real? Is this like an, you know, like a parallel universe going on here or what?" And I said, "Prabhu, thank you so much." I said, "Well, what about tomorrow? Could I come tomorrow?" And he said, "Oh, would you?" And I was like, "Hello? There's nothing greater that I would do." And I said, when could I come? And he said, "When would you like to come?" And so, like, you know, you don't ask a Sankirtan devotee, "How much is the donation?" Right? Because he's going to say $100 at least. $1,000. Give $1,000. So I said, "Well, how about after Mangal Arti?" And he said, "Okay." So I was like, "Hare Krishna." So I got to go into Prabhupada's room. Went to Mangal Arti, went in Prabhupada's room, stayed there till 9 o'clock at night. And I got to do that for 2 weeks in a row. And every single day, I got to massage Srila Prabhupada's feet. So the lotus feet of our spiritual master are the only ways by which we can attain pure devotional service. I bow down to those lotus feet with great awe and reverence. By his grace, one can cross the ocean of material suffering and attain the mercy of Krishna. So, anyway, so I had a bunch of, I'm never going to get through the list. I didn't know it would take that long to get through that one. But I'll go through a few of them. And, okay. We're okay? Because I am getting to actually the grand finale. I do have a grand finale. I want to get that in. And I'd have to, these are just things that happen. That, you know, it's, you know, we're on this ship, right? We're crossing the ocean of birth and death. There's no doubt about it. We are in the ship right now. This could be rocking, but we have a great commander. And he has great officers. Radhanath Swami, Bhakti Chiru Swami, Indradumna Swami, Shivaram Swami, Jaipataka Swami. They know how to carry out his orders. And we're all flying. It's like we're not even moving, right? Just like when you get on an airplane. You're moving, but you don't feel like it, right? When it gets off the ground. We are going at the speed of the mind back to Goloka Vrindavan. Don't leave the ship. The only way you're going to get thrown off of the ship is by aparad. Vaishnava aparad, nam aparad, and guru aparad. Aparad, it is our greatest enemy. It isn't maya is our enemy. Aparad is our enemy. Because if we follow the instructions of the spiritual master, he guarantees us that we will go back home, back to Godhead. So after I got initiated in Chicago, the first thing I did was I went to say the next morning, I went to say my Gayatri mantra. And the temple was about 2 blocks from Lake Michigan, which is this very big body of water. It's like an ocean of fresh water. So I thought, oh, I'll go down by the ocean and I'll say my Gayatri mantra like I'm a yogi, meditate on, right? And of course, I hadn't even memorized it. I was just reading the paper. So I sat down by this tree and I was by the ocean or by the lake and there was a road. And I just started to say my Gayatri mantra when that Ford Continental limousine pulled up, like, oh, maybe from here to the door, okay? And car pulled up. Mr. Ford got out of the car and opened the door for the spiritual master of the universe, and Srila Prabhupada got out. And I saw Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada's back was to me. And I went, Srila Prabhupada ki jai! And I offered my obeisances. And then I thought, oh, Krishna, Prabhupada's going on his morning walk, right? Now, you had to be invited to go on Prabhupada's walk. Not everyone could go, otherwise there'd be like traffic jams everywhere. You know, 3,000 people going. So usually it was the sannyasis and GBC. So I thought, hey, I'm going to say this Gayatri mantra real fast and sneak on. Okay? So then, so all these sannyasis were getting out. Brahmananda was there. Sudama Maharaj was there. They get out, and then they turn, and they come walking right by me. So, and I'm saying the Gayatri mantra. I'm going, I'm going really super fast, right? And then Prabhupada says something. And I didn't hear it. I heard Prabhupada say something, but then he walked on. So I got done really quick, and I was a good runner way back then. And I went running, and I caught up. And one of the sannyasis saw me coming, and he backed to the back of the crowd because he knew me. And he looked at me, and he had this look of, why didn't you? That kind of look. And he said, I came walking up, and I went, he said, why didn't you offer your obeisances when Srila Prabhupada came by? And I said, I did when he got out of the car. He said, well, Srila Prabhupada didn't see you. And I was like, oh, I'm going to hell. And I said, what did Srila Prabhupada said? He said, what is he doing? Why he is not offering obeisances when the spiritual master comes by? And he said, well, Prabhupada, he's saying his Gayatri mantra. And Prabhupada said, what is the value of such mantra? What is the worth of that mantra when the spiritual master walks by and you do not offer obeisances? I was like, okay, let me fall in front of a car. I fell down like a rod, flat. And I took a vow at that time which I actually have kept for 44 years, that before I say my Gayatri Mantra, and after I say my Gayatri Mantra, I bow down and I offer my obeisances to Prabhupada. And if I'm in front of the deities and I'm saying my Gayatri Mantra, oh, I'm bowing down. Sometimes I see Prabhu's doing that. And I go, well, at your own risk, Prabhuji, because I have personal experience. What is the value of that mantra? So that was one little chastisement. And one time, Srila Prabhupada, he was in Albert Hall in London, and he was giving this famous speech. Actually, Tribhikram Swami Maharaj, he's a very close friend of mine. We have been very close for 40-some years. And he's told me all of his pastimes. I told him all of mine, and he's got way more than me. But one thing he told me that I really liked is he was Prabhupada's personal servant. And Prabhupada went to give this lecture. And it was a very famous hall. And they had like the mayor of London. They had people from the parliament. And they had all these rich businessmen and scientists, educators. It was a very distinguished crowd. And there was a few hundred of them. And Prabhupada gave this most amazing lecture, he said. He said his hairs were standing on end. And then after, Prabhupada opened the whole thing to questions and answers. And there were Mayavads there, and Prabhupada, the Mayavad said, no, but it's all Brahmana. And Prabhupada, choo, 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 choo. From this Purana and from the Upanishads and from the Rig Veda and Atharva Veda, Prabhupada was just quoting, and he was like, like Arjuna shooting arrows, right? And then this atheist stood up and said, but no, there's no God. And then he completely devastated that. And then someone else came up and he devastated that. And not only was he devastating it, defeating them, he was convincing them. And at the end, of his questions, they stood up and gave him a standing ovation. And Tribhikram Swami was like, he said, at that moment, he said, Prabhupada is the greatest personality in the universe. So they went back to Prabhupada's quarters, and Tribhikram Swami said he was so enlivened. He was like, oh, Prabhupada, you defeated this person, you defeated that, you're the greatest, you're this, you're that. And he was glorifying Prabhupada. He said, you can conquer the world. And he was just, and then finally Prabhupada went, no! Like that, and raised his hand up. And he said, the way he said no, it almost was like a club hitting him in the face. He said he became froze. He said, and then Srila Prabhupada became like a little child. And he said, I am only a servant. So, even though he's the sum total of the demigods, Trinadapi Sunichana, Tororapi Suhichana, Amaneda, Amanedina, Kirtaniya Sadayari, lower than the strongest tree. So, tell me what time, because I'm going to have to go. 10 minutes? Oh, you didn't. Okay, I'm going to have to jump though. Okay, so ¿3 o'clock? Okay. All right. So jumping ahead, there was a lot of things that I was on the Radha Damodar party, and Prabhupada he gave us a lot of mercy. And in 1975, the party was led by Vishnu John Swami, Who has heard of Vishnu John Swami? Raise your hand. All right. And Tamal Krishna Goswami? You've heard? Okay. So they were my older god brothers. They were my GBC temple presidents. And so they had one bus. First, Vishnu John Maharaj had a bus with Radha Damodar, which this is the month of Damodar. So this is kind of like Radha Damodar party's month. We kind of own this month because we have Radha Damodar here. Damodar being tied up. And Prabhupada also was in Radha Damodar temple writing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Radha Damodar is very dear to all of us. But Prabhupada was, so we expanded the party. We had one Greyhound bus, which is a giant touring bus, converted into a temple for Radha Damodar party. So we were expanding to four buses. So we had three more buses, traveling temples. Each bus had three or four vans that would travel along with it. And we went all over the United States distributing books. And we were distributing 1 million Back to Godhead magazines a month. So then Prabhupada said he was actually doing a Didi installation of three sets of Gaur Nittai Didis. So each bus had its own Didis. And so Prabhupada was giving the lecture, and he was talking about Vishwamitra Muni. And he was saying how powerful Vishwamitra Muni performed this incredible austerities for 60 thousands of years. So he said he became so powerful, Vishwamitra Muni. He said, so Vishwamitra Muni, he performed this austerity for 60 thousands of years. He said, but the devotees in our movement accomplished the same thing in a few days on Sankirtan. A few days on Sankirtan is equivalent to 60 thousands of years of Vishwamitra Muni's austerity. Srila Prabhupada ki! Sankirtan Jagya ki! So we were very happy about that. And then in 1976, the entire Radha Damodar party went to Mayapur. That was the first time I went to Mayapur. And we were very enthusiastic, kind of like the men who were out here earlier today, very enthusiastic, dancing like madmen. And there were different parties in the world. There was a party called the Namhatta Party, which was run by Guru Kripa Maharaj and Yasodanandana Maharaj. And then there was the Los Angeles Temple. They had big Sankirtan party, big Kirtan party. Chicago, England, Germany, South America, Mexico. They all had their own Kirtan party. And we had a Kirtan competition in Mayapur. Who could have the most ecstatic Kirtan? And I hate to say it, but Radha Damodar party won every single time. Anyways, we were all dancing very ecstatically. Everyone in the world was very, very ecstatic. And at that time, has anyone been to Mayapur? Raise your hand if you've been to Mayapur. Have you ever seen this ringing of the bell? Where they take Srila Prabhupada around and then they ring the bell? Well, I actually was there at that bell ringing, the actual bell ringing. Prabhupada, he would go around the Didi house, and that's where the bell ringing started. And for some reason, when Prabhupada rang that bell, it was like you were injected with an unlimited amount of ecstasy. And you could not stand still. Everyone was just leaping through the roof. They show a little bit of just the sannyasi, but you should see the devotees outside. It was total pandemonium and ecstasy. Every time I go to Mayapur and I talk to Jananivas, as a matter of fact, I talked to Jananivas before this. I just was in Mayapur, and we were talking about that. And he said, "Did you know that there was actually two bells, one on one side of the temple room, and then one on the other." And Prabhupada would ring it, ding, ding, ding. Then he'd go around to the other one, dang, dang, ding. And there are two different tones. So Prabhupada had it where Prabhupada would ring it, ding, and Jananivas would be at the other one going, dong. So it'd go, ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, dong, ding. We didn't care. It was just like just total ecstasy. So we were dancing in ecstasy. And, you know, it got pretty much out, a little bit out of hand, but not really that bad. But one sannyasi did not like it. So after one kirtan, we were all up in Prabhupada's room, just brahmacharis and sannyasis. And this sannyasi stood up and said, "Srila Prabhupada, it's getting kind of crazy down there in the kirtans." He said, "All this dancing, just crazy." He said, it's like out of control. And we're all like, uh-oh, we're in trouble now, right? We're all kind of like cowering. Prabhupada just sat there and he just paused for a second. He said, "Yes, when you become a lover of Krishna, you dance like a madman." Srila Prabhupada ki. So he kind of gave the authorization for any type of madman dancing. So then I'm going to go right to 1977. So okay. So. Oh, I have to tell this one, though. So Prabhupada said, we were in Prabhupada's room, the Radha Damodar party, and we were all sitting there. And one of the brahmacharis said, "Srila Prabhupada, if we're on Sankirtan and we die, do we go back to Godhead?" Just a good question. And we're like, oh yeah, here it comes, right? So we're all like out there killing ourselves out there distributing books. And Prabhupada said, "Not necessarily." And we were like, "What?" And he said, "Yam yam bapi smaram bhavam chajantante kalevaram. Whatever you're thinking at the time of death, that's state of being you'll attain without fail." And we were devastated, right? And the whole room just like all the oxygen was just sucked out of the room. We're all like, oh my God, my mind. And then Prabhupada kind of, he was just so perfect at timing. He like waited. It would seem like about 2 months. But it's probably like 15 seconds, maybe 10 seconds. He said, "But I will promise you this." He actually said, "I will promise you this. If you dedicate your entire life to distributing my books, I promise." And then Prabhupada went just like this. He pointed up to Goloka Vrindavan. He said, "I promise that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will personally come down and take you back to Godhead in this very lifetime." Srila Prabhupada ki. Book distribution ki. So yeah, that's what we did. Except we did it about 1,000 times louder. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah, that's how we did it. Hare Krishna. So so then when I first got to Vrindavan in 77. When I first went in to see Srila Prabhupada, I was with, I was the Sankirtan leader, and the temple president was Govardhan Das from Detroit. And we got into our room, and within like a few seconds, someone had told Srila Prabhupada that we had arrived in Vrindavan. And he said, oh, I want to see them right away. Actually, he said, I want to see Govardhan. He was the president. And I said, can I go too? And he goes, yeah, you can go. So so we went into Prabhupada's quarter. We went through like the book room, if you know Vrindavan and where Prabhupada's. You have to kind of go through Prabhupada's little courtyard and then go through the kitchen and then into his room. So you could like make a little circle. So as we're coming through the courtyard, Tamal Krishna Maharaj stopped us and said, Prabhus, before you go in to see Srila Prabhupada, I just have to forewarn you that Prabhupada is not like you remember him. Like we see Srila Prabhupada sitting. That's how I remember Srila Prabhupada on the Vyasasan. That's how I eternally will remember Srila Prabhupada. But he said he is very, very sick and he has not eaten in months. And we're trying to encourage him and we're trying to get his strength back. So he said, just say encouraging things. Don't bring any negativity, no complaints, don't say anything. And he said, and above all, don't cry. So I said, okay, so we're all ready. So we went and came behind Prabhupada's bed, and then we went around to the foot of the bed, and we offered our obeisances. And Prabhupada was getting a massage. He was sitting up. And he said, oh, who is here? He was smiling, actually, even though his body was so emaciated. He was so transcendental. He just, you know, he was in that horrific state. And he goes, Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, it's Govardhan Das and Udayananda Das from the Detroit temple. And when we stood up, we saw Prabhupada in that state, and we were shocked. And we had our chadars. We were covering our face. And Govardhan just started weeping, but it was not loudly, silently. He was just, tears were pouring down. And Prabhupada said, oh, how is your, are your quarters all right? In Krishna Balaram guest house, is everything all right? Are you comfortable? Did you get prasadam? Is everything nice for you? And he said, and are the devotees happy in Detroit? Are they getting prasadam? Are they going on Sankirtan? And, you know, he was supposed to be answering these questions, but he was crying. So I just started answering. I said, oh, yes, Srila Prabhupada. Our quarters are fantastic. Thank you so much. It's, you know, we're so comfortable. Thank you. You've made such a beautiful arrangement for everyone. He said, how are the devotees in Detroit? I said, oh, they're so happy. We go out and we go on Sankirtan every week, and we used to go around this neighborhood, and I told Prabhupada a joke of how we got the children to chant, and all he was doing is, and he said, and how is Ambarish? Is he happy in Krishna consciousness? And Lake Shavanti, and they had given large donations to buy the temple, and I said, oh yeah, they're both very happy, and Prabhupada, he just kept on talking about everyone else's well-being, and never once did he say, look at me, I'm suffering. Look at what has happened to me. And he was just concerned. And then he started talking about this gigantic wedding that we had put on. The Ford family came and the Ruther family came. It was on Time Magazine and New York Times and Los Angeles Times, Chicago Tribune, Detroit Free Press, Newsweek, all over the... We had millions of dollars worth of advertising because we had this wedding, this really beautiful wedding. So then finally temple president got his composure together and started explaining that, and then I covered my face and I just cried. So that was the condition that Srila Prabhupada was in. And then later on, it was Ras Purnima. And Pancha Devita Maharaj said, Srila Prabhupada, would you like to hear the five chapters of the Krishna book, which takes about almost 2 hours to read aloud? And he said, oh, yes. So he started reading. And at that time, I was actually massaging Prabhupada's feet. So then I'm thinking, Hare Krishna, I'm in. It's Ras Purnima, right? It's a full moon night of the Sharad season. Radha and Krishna are going to engage in their Ras Leela. I'm at the lotus feet of the spiritual master of the universe. I'm hearing the Ras Leela. If I have any pious activities, let me die right now. But you can see I'm still alive. So I'm not very pious. But Prabhupada was just there, and he was like absorbed in just hearing this Ras Leela. And I was just, you know, imagining what is going through his mind. But of course, who can know the mind of the pure devotee? And then after like about an hour and a half, I thought, you know, Prabhupada's eyes were closed. I was thinking, well, should Prabhupada fall asleep, right? My mind started thinking like that. Well, maybe he fell asleep, you know. It's been almost 2 hours. And there was a word, prayojita. I think it was something like prayojita. And Maharaj pronounced it prayojita or something. He mispronounced it. And immediately Prabhupada went, prayojita. His eyes opened, prayojita. And corrected him, and then it went right back to his... He was in total samadhi. He was totally absorbed. Again, my hair stood up on it. I was just like shocked, you know. Who is this person, right? Who is this person? So then at the end, they said, Prabhupada, we'll read Krishna book every night. He said, yes. He said, because reading Krishna book is just directly associating with Krishna. He said, yes, we will do this. So then, Prabhupada, he was so sick, he could not even lift his head and to pick up the dictaphone. So Upendra was holding the dictaphone. And even though he could not lift his head, he was still translating Srimad Bhagavatam. And I watched him translate this Bhagavatam, and I was thinking, Srila Prabhupada, why? You know? And why did he do that? He could not even lift his head. He'd given up eating, sleeping. He was practically never sleeping. At one time he said, I'm practically proving that life does not come from a bag of bones. I'm practically proving that life does not come from a bag of bones. And he was translating the Srimad Bhagavatam. And perfect clarity. He was running the entire movement, yet he could not even sit up by himself. And I was thinking, why is he translating this? And he was translating for Radha Gopinath because he loves Radha Gopinath so much. He knew that it pleased. Krishna says, those who preach this philosophy are most dear to me, and never will there be anyone more dear. And that was Srila Prabhupada. He had already preached it over and over again, yet he was laying on his bed. He could not even lift his head. He was doing it for Krishna, and he was doing it for all of you. He was doing it for me. Self-realization is not selfish realization. It's selfless realization. So he demonstrated the greatest selflessness. And then one day, we were just all like serving, doing whatever we could. We were having bhajans for him. We were, you know, they were cooking for him, massaging him. It was such a loving, incredibly loving arrangement. And it was like every desire that you could want spiritually, Prabhupada was fulfilling. And at one point, Prabhupada started to cry. And he said, please forgive me for taking up your time. Please forgive me for taking up your life, for serving me like this. And we all were crying. And I remember Tama Krishna Maharaj. He said, Prabhupada, you're melting our hearts. You're taking our hearts. You've stolen our hearts. You just think, we are your servants. We are your slaves. There's nothing we want to do more than this. Yet you say like this. And we were ecstatic, but we were miserable simultaneously. And then one last thing I'll say. Because one last thing. Prabhupada said, this was also just days before he left. He said, I've given you this big, big ISKCON movement. He said, if you can, please expand it. Please expand this movement. He said, at least maintain this movement. And then he said, don't let it decrease, please. And then Prabhupada started crying. That time, that was the greatest pain in my life. And he said, please cooperate. So we're all here. Some have been here for years. Some, this is your first day. Please cooperate. Please work together. Please push on this ISKCON movement. Never leave this ISKCON movement. Because it makes Prabhupada cry. And any devotee that leaves, that is painful to Srila Prabhupada. So make Prabhupada smile. Make Prabhupada laugh. Push on this movement. Stay with this movement. Increase this movement. And fulfill Srila Prabhupada's desire and the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spread Krishna consciousness to every town and village. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki! Radha Gopinath ki! Radha Damodar ki! Sri Gopal ki! Nitai Gauranga ki! Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.